The BBC presents My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the team.
Hello. The teams are unchanged. Frank Muir and David Franklin versus Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. We begin with a round of orchestral music. One mark for the title, another mark for the composer. We begin with David Franklin because we always do begin with David Franklin.
Richard Wagner was born in 1813 and died, I think you'll discover, in 1883, and he had a remarkable influence upon the development of orchestral techniques in the 19th century. And one of the most outstanding things about his career was that he didn't write this.
One mark.
If you force me, do you force me?
I force you.
I would make a guess at Brahms.
I'm afraid it's no marks. It's the Coriolan Overture by Beethoven. We move on to a piece of music for Dennis Norden. Title and composer.
Well, I've just had a whispered communication. I think we might try some Handel, says the voice.
We've
and it went on to say, water, or I thought you said waterworks or fire, but it isn't. It's fireworks or water. Which, are we all right? Are we in the...
Do you care to send up a rocket and see which you think is?
I would go for fireworks.
You'd be right, yes. A mark for the royal music from the royal, for the royal fireworks, a mark for Handel, two marks for Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace's turn.
I'm a bit hazy about this, but something came into my mind about this being about a river which starts very small, and the music describes it going majestically on to the wide mouth.
Sounds a bit like David Franklin. Majestically going on to the wide mouth.
If you could tell me the country it's in, I'll tell you whether you're right.
Czechoslovakia.
No, I see what you're thinking. You're thinking of Vltava, aren't you? By Smetana, I would have thought. The river.
Yes.
Yeah, it isn't that. No. It's further north, I'll tell you that.
Spot of Sibelius.
Yes, there's a mark.
Why good.
Not? And, no more hints, the name of the piece.
Not Finlandia.
No, it's the intermezzo from the Karelia suite. And I wasn't at all sure that the Karelia isn't a river, but anyway, I'm taking it it isn't. By Sibelius.
No, it's a sports
there.
Car. Yeah.
Frank Mill, your turn.
I know this. This shows Beethoven's influence on...
Yeah.
It's the march of the parachute regiment. It is.
Or, well, is it? Yes. What was it before that?
It was the Ride of the Valkyries.
Yes, by, for the other mark.
By Wagner.
Yeah.
American, translated, our American repeat, I said, Wagner.
Yes, a mark for each. Total of two. We move on to the next round. General musical knowledge for two marks. David, there are two songs of the flea, a notable one by Mussorgsky, but where would you find the other one?
In Berlioz's Faust.
That's correct. For 2 marks.
How does he do it, one hour?
An aria sung by Mephistopheles and Berlioz, The Damnation of Faust. Dennis, what is a countertenor?
Well, here we go from general musical knowledge to corporal musical knowledge. A countertenor is anybody who can count to 10. if you remember the Latin, in Latin they used to say that X is 10, and from that we got the movement known as the existentialist. I'm merely covering the time while the message comes up. It used to be castrati.
I sometimes amuse myself wondering how you're going to answer these questions. Never in my wildest dreams do I get it right. you got 2 marks because of the association with castrati. Yes, a countertenor is a rare male voice, higher than a tenor, current in England in Purcell's and Handel's time and revived in this century. Differs from the male alto in employing not falsetto, but an extension of the normally produced voice. The best known, I suppose, of all countertenors being Alfred Deller. Anyway, you have 2 marks, Dennis Norden and Ian. Your turn. The title, Trumpet Voluntary, was given to a keyboard piece which the late Sir Henry Wood arranged for a combination of organ, brass and kettle drums, but he mistakenly gave the credit for the original to Purcell. Other people, too, have made the same mistake. Who really did write it, and what was its original title?
Jeremiah Clarke.
For a mark, yes.
What was its original title?
Mm.
That I haven't the faintest idea.
Well, nor has anybody, but here's the answer written down on my card. The original title was The Prince of Denmark's March. Anyway, you have 1 mark. You can't win them all, Ian, can you?
No.
With that 1 mark from you, we move on to Frank. Frank, what is it that German musicians call a kontrafagott?
Oh, come off it.
A what?
Contrafagot.
Contra.
Peace pudding. It must be, on very reliable and large authority, a contrabassoon, whatever that is.
2 marks, it's a contrafagot, you're right.
I knew, but I forgot.
Songs that you have known and I hope loved. 1 mark for the title, 1 for the name of the singer, David.
I'm waking him up, the heads are astir in the valley, and the snowboard asleep with the stars.
David.
The Trumpeter, sung by Peter Dawson.
Yes, the mark for each total, 2. Good. Dennis's turn. Characteristic performance from one of my very, very favourite sopranos, Dennis.
La Paloma is the name of the thing. And one of your favourite sopranos.
She feels very much at home in this kind of song.
Well, then she's Spanish.
Yes.
Right. Ian, Spanish sopranos. Have we got a line of Spanish sopranos?
Well, the top of the line of the Spanish sopranos is Victoria de los Angeles.
Victoria de los Angeles.
But I don't think it's her.
As long as we don't have to spell it, we're... You know.
It is, and you have your 2 marks. you were so marvellous at pronouncing that name, Ian. Let's hear you pronounce the name of the next singer. Song and singer, please.
Elizabeth Schwarzkopf.
Yes, well pronounced and well said. Yes, one mark. Thank you for saying it instead of me. And the song.
He's gone off.
I think she was accompanied by Gerald Moore.
Don't prevaricate.
No, I. It's one of these tip of the tongue things. I can't.
In German or in English, audience. Ich liebe dich. Thank you very much. I was hoping to get away without pronouncing that either. I didn't do German at school. Ich liebe dich. I love you. By Grieg. Well, that's one mark for the singer here. And Frank, who and what is this?
La luna in mezzo al mare, mamma mia, si salterà. L'ora bella per danzare, piena bocca mancherà. La luna in mezzo al mare, mamma mia, si salterà. L'ora bella per danzare, piena bocca mancherà. La luna in mezzo al mare, mamma mia, si salterà.
Taken short there. The it's the Tarantella, I'm reliably informed, by Rossini.
I'm not going to take the Tarantella.
Tarantella.
No. I want the title of the piece.
Come on.
It's not Mermaid.
What sort of service is this? Wait a minute. Get a great head.
It might technically
you
be.
You keep going on the singer, and I'll give you the.
It's an old recording, this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, so go on, have a guess at the singer then.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Yes. Dancer.
What?
Try La Danza.
La Danza.
Well, he wasn't a tenor.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know that. Hang on. Well, hang on. The name of the piece, the lady involved, is La Danza.
Yes, the name of the piece, La Danza, by Rossini, and the singer.
Dead.
Was he Italian?
Yes.
Gili.
Gili is right for the other
one. Beniamino Gili.
Yes, two.
Beniamino
Gili, yes. Questions about opera. For a total of 3 marks, David... Which 2 operas, David, with the same title, based on the same novel, were written at roughly the same time by 2 eminent composers? And who were the composers concerned?
The novel was La Vie de Bohème by Murger. The title of the opera was La Bohème. One was written by Puccini, and the other was written by Leon Cavallo.
You couldn't give me a fuller answer. No, 3 marks. 3 marks. And the funny thing, as you know, David, is that the Leon Cavallo version was better received at first than the Puccini, wasn't it? Strange. Some people still prefer it to the Puccini version. That's 3 marks, anyway. Dennis, in which opera, by which composer, does a high priestess have 2 children by her soldier lover, who then falls in love with one of the virgins in her temple? A right mess, you might say. Which opera by which composer?
I do apologise to opera lovers. It's a moment of abysmal interest. Ignorance now. I have this advisory service here. Ian.
The advisory service line is busy.
Would you like to borrow David Franklin for 2 marks?
Can we? He gave a double answer. We can't even get half a mark.
Can we rescue a perilous situation by a little help?
Yes, you can rescue 1 mark out of the 3 by asking me to give you the name of one, and I'll ask you for the other. Would you like the composer or the opera?
I'd like the composer.
Funny choice. All right, the composer, Bellini, and you tell me the opera for a mark.
Bellini? I thought he made furniture.
You change your mind, Ian. Ask for the name of the opera.
Well, I don't think it can be Norma. I wasn't even looking at him to see if he twitched.
It's a pity you don't think it could be Norma. It's Norma. Yeah. Norma. Well, you know Norma. Always difficult, you know. It was, that's no marks at all.
I'm afraid not.
Norma by Bellini. Ian, your turn. You've got to go through it all again.
Yes, I'm coming to the wicket on a pier.
Oh, you'll know this one. Ian, which opera by which composer opens on the shores of Lake Lucerne? And what was the name of the villain of the piece?
William Tell.
Thank you.
Rossini.
Yes. Yes. Cool. William Tell by Rossini, yes. And who's the villain in the story of William Tell?
I don't know whether they changed his name for the opera in order to make him fit the music, but but for purposes of writing comedy sketches about it, his name was always Baron Gessler. Or Kessler, I can't remember.
Yes, you got it. You got it. There's your three marks. Three lovely, rich, ripe marks for Ian. Frank, a nice long question for you. In which opera by Paul Dukas? I beg your pardon.
Don't know.
In which opera by Paul Dukas did the leading character give his new wife seven keys, six of which opened doors leading to vaults full of precious stone, but the seventh, the golden key, she was forbidden to use? Inevitably she did, of course. What happened then?
Well, the seventh one she was forbidden to use was obviously the executive's washroom. And she opened it, realised where she was, flushed, and retired in confusion.
Did the story have a familiar ring to it?
Aria.
Did the story have a familiar ring to it?
Seems a bit like Seven Keys to Baldpate, but I don't know. What? I seem to hear voices.
Don't we all?
And this voice told me, try Bluebeard's Castle.
Yes, the voice is slightly in error, but only slightly. Bluebeard's Castle, not by Dukas.
Voice.
Bluebeard's Castle by, unless I'm mistaken, Bartok, I think. Not this one, anyway. No, don't know. But I'll give you a mark for Bluebeard. Ariadne and Bluebeard. One mark there. The gold key opened the room in which all Bluebeard's earlier wives were confined. And in the opera, she left him. She left him, and the other wives stayed on.
A dull opera.
Anyway, you've got a mark there.
Did you really mean that this was the room where all of his wives were confined?
Oh. Well... I have to say what it tells me here. I'll think of something tomorrow. And at this stage in the contest, I see that David, Franklin and Frank Muir are leading by one mark. Next round. We're apt in this country to sing songs originating from other countries and sometimes in their languages. Half the time we haven't got a clue as to what we're singing about, and this could prove embarrassing, even dangerous. For a total of three marks, what are the titles of the following tunes and what do those titles mean? David.
Je le connais. Auprès de ma blonde, il fait beaucoup.
Oh, yes.
It's a Leary song.
Is it? Yes, the title means Near to My Fair One.
What's the title? What do we call it?
Auprès de ma blonde.
Trois marks.
Why should that embarrass us?
Well, not necessarily that one. Some of the others might.
Oh, I see. Thank you for being restrained with me.
Denis.
Beso me mucho, and in a similar song, it is explained that eso beso means oh, that kiss. So this means kiss me much. I don't know quite what part of the body the much is. But that's the literal translation, where, of course, it loses a little.
Three marks there, Miss Ami Mucho, meaning kiss me muchly. Ian Stern.
Quando.
Yes.
Which, Harry Secombe's way of speaking would be win.
Yes. Harry the Sing. Yeah. Three marks there. Quando meaning when will you be mine, actually, is the meaning of the song. And Frankster. Frank?
This one is known as Buy Me a Bist du Shane.
Shane, yes.
Or sometimes Buy Me a Beer, Mr. Shane. It's actually German, and it's schön with an umlaut. Schön means beautiful. Bist du is Ich bin du bist. The verb to be means thou art. Bei mir means by mir. So it's by me, thou art beautiful.
Yeah, I lost track of you halfway along. you couldn't be more right for
parsing.
3 marks.
Huh? He was parsing it.
Yes. On the wrong side.
Earlier on, I was talking about some of my favourite singers. Now we really come to my favourite singers. The round which presents the members of the teams as vocalists. Please, gentlemen, carry on with the music and with the words I keep saying each week when the music stops. David's turn.
Singing Polly Wolly Doodle all the day.
Fare thee well,
my fairy fay. For I'm off to Louisiana due to see my Susie Annie singing Polly Wolly Doodle all the day.
Hey.
Olé, yes. Well, 3 marks there for that performance of Down by the Old Mill Stream. Lovely. Yeah, Polly Wolly Doodle. Dennis's turn.
I dream my dreams away underneath the arches on cobblestones I lay. Every night you'll find me.
Kiss me, Alan.
I'm dead and warm. Happy Wednesday. Thank you. Farewell, dawn. Sleeping when it's raining and sleeping when it's fine. Rain, 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 by.
Do a bit of work, Dennis.
Just the other pavement. No matter. Underneath the arches, I see my dreams.
Jolly good. You were very good. You were very good. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give him 8.
Bud Flanagan never teamed up with you because you missed too many beats.
Because I was trying to listen to the audience. It was so quiet. I couldn't, you know. You should have got Ian to put his hand on your shoulder.
Yeah. Well, Dennis has got 3 marks there, one way or another, because they all do in this round. Ian, it's your turn now.
Yes, at last I know the answer.
The wrong answer.
Awful moment. From where I thought it was going to be a demonstration like they have a football match. They're all going to swarm on the stage. That's what I thought it was.
Can I hear it again?
All right, we'll ask Graham Daly to play it again for you.
From Amsterdam.
That's more like it.
This he got half in mind.
Tulips from
like the something. I'll keep
something
yearning.
How can I possibly give you 3 marks for this?
Well, you've had 2 songs for the price of 1.
Shall we give him 1.5 marks for each song? All right, thank you. You answer the rest
generous,
of the audience.
Yeah.
Right, 3 marks, Ian.
At last I know the answer to it all. My
song from Frank.
Bless you for being an angel, just who it seemed that heaven was not for me. Bless you for me. And you do. Just when you old love me crumbled so hilariously. Bless you, my darling, my angel. Heaven is mine.
And you,
mine. Is there a contra tenor in the house? Heaven is mine. Oh!
I don't say this in any critical spirit, but it does seem a very long song.
It always did, as a matter of fact, David. It always did. Those three marks for Frank Inkspot. I'm afraid brings us to the end of this edition of My Music, in which I see that David Franklin and Frank Muir beat Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden by three marks. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. Graham Daly was at the keyboard and the chairman was Steve Ray. The questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason and the program was produced in London by Tony Schreier.